background that you guys have didn't really include so much Hasidus. Sometimes it did. It's a world that's commonly misunderstood. The optics are a little bit different than the ones we're accustomed to. So hopefully we'll dedicate one day a week to learning a little bit of Hasidus. But since we're discussing tshuva and different voices of tshuva, it's a nice opportunity to already hear some tshuva voices from the world of Hasidus. And probably the best entree point for Hasidus, for most people, is the Sefer Gold of Sfas Emes. I'll tell you a little bit about who wrote the Sefer, but I want to really get to his ideas of tshuva. The Sefer is really well written. It's very easy to read. That's its advantage, and that's its deficit. The advantage is it's easier to read than some of the other Sfarim of Hasidus at a very, very complex Kabbalah base. You read especially some of the earlier Sfarim. I can't even make one of them. I'm not that conversant in the terms of Kabbalah, terminology of Kabbalah. This is an easy Sefer to read. The problem is it's such an easy Sefer to read that it's become wildly popular. People read the Sfas Emes without a hint or a clue of what he's referring to. You're not just reading a regular Dvar Torah that you read in the Daf Yasher or online. The words really do have Kabbalistic references. They're not heavy Kabbalah, but they certainly have Kabbalistic and Hasidic references. And just, it kills me sometimes to see people quoting the Sfas Emes at the Shabbos table and discussing very deeply, deeply entrenched ideas of Hasidus without really referencing the doctrines and the concepts that he's referring to. So this is Reb Yehuda Aryeh Leib Alter. He's essentially the third Ger Rebbe. His parents died at a very early age. He was raised by his grandfather, Chidush Harim. So he puts his grandfather, the Chidush Harim, and he essentially puts Ger on the map. During his period, his reign, he's born in 1847. He dies young in 1905. And during his reign as a Ger Rebbe, he started very early age, at the age of 23. Ger basically became one of the most central strains or tracks of Hasidus. She's really the Ger Rebbe that puts him into a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. I mean, reading his Chidushim on Lashas is just nothing short of a breathtaking experience. So it's a very interesting personality. We'll have a chance to meet him and to learn from him and about him throughout the course of the year. Of course, the Sefer Sfas Emes is named after the last Chiddush, before he passed away, the last Chiddush he wrote. He talks about the Pasuk of Sfas Emes. He wasn't called the Sfas Emes in his day. Anyway, let's get to Inyan Tshuva. We'll get to discussing the biography of the Sfas Emes at a different point. Okay, number one. Hasidus asserts that every single Jew has an inalienable virtue, an inalienable purity. That even if a person sins and wanders and veers and disobeys and betrays, hasn't changed the core essence that Hashem imbued in every Jew. It's called Kibushas Yisrael. That's why Hasidus today is very different than it used to be. It used to be much more open and embracing. That's much more insular because of the Holocaust, because of secularization. But Chabad is still that understanding and identifying the purity of every Jew, even though you can't naturally detect it in their observance, in their shiris mitzvahs, in their Talmud Torah. There's an inalienable, irremovable, immutable kedusha that every Jew has, and it's given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And for tshuva purposes, when Hoshea writes, it's not just discuss Hasidus, but how does it affect tshuva? When Hoshea writes, "Tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha ki chashalta ba'avonecha." What is that phrase, ki chashalta, that you've fallen, that you've tripped? So the Sfas Emes takes this to mean that you haven't really contaminated yourself. You've just tripped up, you've just fallen, but your core is still virtuous, your core is still noble, your core is still holy. And tshuva, very important, tshuva is not renewal, tshuva is rediscovery. It's a very important difference. And I've been very influenced by this. Are you looking to find the new you, or are you looking to find the old you? When David HaMelech says, Leif tohar brali elikim baruch nachon chadesh bekirbi, he's looking for a new person. When Shlomo says, Hashiveinu Hashem elecha v'nashuva chadeshimeinu kekedem, you're looking for an old person. Your old self, your innocent self, before you fell, before you were damaged, before you became broken. So I'm very drawn to this. I believe that every single Jew has an inherent virtue, an inherent kindness, inherent goodness, inherent holiness. It's just become overlaid with layers of confusion and weakness and pollution. Just you have to dig deep and find that old self, not necessarily become a new person, just find the you before all of that corruption and alteration began. So I read you the Lashon. The Av Shechata, because the Lashon is beautiful. The Av Shechata, even though a person sins her Shia Harbe and committed terrible sins, Tzarech Lahamin is an Emunah, you have to believe. Ki Iker Nekuda Yisrael L'Shuba, the deep Jewish identity that you have, Hi Bimekoma, still exists. And you just have to find that. So this is an important idea of Hasidus that comes across in Tshuva. Another interesting idea of tshuva. In Chassidus, based on Kabbalah, there are three realms. We tend to feel that the realm of activity, that's the proper realm, and the realm of thought is just a stage to set our activity, to drive our activity, to inform our activity. But in Kabbalah, there are three realms, the realm of activity, the realm of thought, and the realm of speech. And each realm has its own inherent autonomous validity. So if there's thought, even if that thought doesn't express itself in action, that thought has validity. Which, of course, we accept even in the non-Hasidic world. In the Hasidic world, it has a level of palpability, even though it's just thought, it's just theoretical. Remember, Hasidus is a revolution trying to rescue Jews who are falling off of the grid because they don't know how to learn necessarily, because maybe the Shmiras and Mitzvahs level is not up to par. So in Hasidus, in general, there's a real accent on the desire, even if it's not expressed in classic halachic form and classic halachic body. The classic story of the shepherd who comes into shul and starts whistling and playing his flute, and everyone wants to shush him because he's not davening. And the Baal Shem Tov, or the Chassidic Rebbe, says, no, this is the most beautiful thing because it comes from the heart. It's a very, very powerful part, the longing, the desire, even if it isn't fulfilled or expressed or translated in the classical fashion. So, he quotes, I'm just quoting some Svasemesis to capture these ideas. The Gemara says, Avdeim Nidava, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us that he will love us freely after we do Tshuva. I will heal your failures and I will love you freely. So that's a beautiful pasuk, free love, because we don't deserve it. But Svasemesis, what does it mean Hashem will love you freely? Listen to the language. Misha Mekarev Atzmo, person who feels himself getting closer to Hashem. Af She'eni Yodeh, he doesn't know how. Dig deep into tshuva. Will you reach the place in Mirat Hashem on Thursday where you really want to do tshuva, you just don't know how? You really want to be pure, but your mind is still contaminated by all these thoughts. Like, is there a deeper level of you that we could describe as the wanting and the yearning and the desire, but just as it expresses itself in your tefillos, or even in your mind, right? Even in your mind, let's say on Thursday you'll be thinking about, I don't know, football. You'll be thinking about Shabbos. You'll be thinking about friends and pizza and movies. And you just can't clear your mind to think about Yom Kippur. But if you dig a little deeper, you know you're deeper, you really want it. Right? I call it the pill effect. Like, I gave you a pill that you would take Erev Yom Kippur, and that pill would cleanse your mind all of Yom Kippur, and all you'd think about was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would you take the pill? I'm hoping the answer is yes. So that pill shows deeper desire. And even though you don't, and you're incapable of expressing and cementing that desire, that's valid, because it's a deeper level of machshava. I'll read you the language. Misha mekarev atzmo, af she'eni yodea ech, you don't know how. Rak migagel lashuv, you desire, you miss Hashem, you yearn. Umisnadev atzmo, and you commit yourself, af she'eni yodea ech miskar, you know how to do it. Hashem, how do I do tshuva? I don't even know how to do it, but I know that I want it. If you volunteered, even though you don't know how to volunteer, you show up and say, look, I'm here to volunteer. What can I do? I don't know how to do anything, but here to volunteer. You show up at Leket, or you show up at Alid, or you show up at Ezer Mitzion. I don't know how to drive. I don't know how to help but push a wheelchair. I don't know how to administer drugs, but I'm here. I just want to do something. That's worthwhile. So Hashem says, if you dedicate yourself and volunteer, then Oavim Nedava, then I'll reciprocate with love. A parallel voice is Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. What does it mean Ad Hashem Elokecha? A famous Gemara, Gedol Tshuva, Shemagas Ad Kisei Hakavod, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. So he says as follows: Bevadai Yesh Hirhurei Tshuva B'Chodesh Yisrael. There's definitely something happening in your heart. You definitely deeply want to do Tshuva, but it doesn't come out. It's called Hirhurei Tshuva. There's thoughts, there's glimpses, there's glimmers. It comes through your heart. Your mind gets distracted. Your heart gets distracted. Your courage weakens. Your resolve shifts. But there's Hirhurei Tshuva. Belei v'kloyos. V'zeu nemer gamken amachshav atova. I'm missing the place here. Okay, when the Rambam writes that the successful tshuva, the sign of successful tshuva, is yayir alav yodea teluma, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu is mayid. So the simple pshat in the Rambam is he's made that your conviction is strong. That even though we know that all of our commitments in Rosh Hashanah and Kippur sometimes tend to wane, but if Hashem knows that your commitment at that moment is pure and sincere, then He'll accept it. But according to this Vasemis, Yodea Alav, Meir Alav Yodea Talum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is made for you. He's made that deep down He knows what you don't even know. When we say in Kippur that you know everything and you check our kidneys and you check our hearts and Atar De'akol and Nistaros V'tabochin Libos, that's a very frightening statement, but in Hasidus it's a very assuring statement. That even though I can't access that deep level of tshuva, I still know that it's there, and you know better than I do that it's there. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you find what I'm incapable of finding myself, my desire, my want, my Yehura Tshuva. So it's not Tshuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha, it's Tshuva Yisrael Eid Hashem Elokecha. Hashem is the aid. And this leads us to the third aspect I'll discuss today, that in Chassidus is a lot of wordplay. And a lot of people who don't understand the Kabbalistic roots of Chassidus are very, very derisive, because it's not classic grammar. So for example, this is a classic one. Paro also means obstinacy. How does paro mean obstinacy? Because if you flip the words, pei, resh, ayin, and you flip it, it could be ayin, resh, pei, which means your neck and your kshei orf. Now this is crazy if you're following rules of grammar. You don't invert words, you don't invert letters. But in Chassidus, there's a different system for how to manage letters. It's based on Kabbalah. And in Kabbalah, letters have a very, very different role in upper worlds than they have in our world. Grammar is for the human world. So in our world, we establish rules of grammar and rules of etymology, and that's how we communicate. Yeah, but that's just human beings on this planet. That's a really, really small, infinitesimal part of reality. Kabbalah stretches reality to include broader worlds, broader universes. So in all those universes, letters have different... For example, the Ramban says in his Hakdama to the Torah, Kol HaTorah Kula Shemos HaShem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire Torah is Hashem's name. That's not true. You read the Torah, the word S isn't Hashem, maybe S is because it's being, but I don't know, the fruit is not Hashem's name. The answer is that the Torah is a long chain of letters that can be conjugated and permutated in millions of different fashions. The Torah that Hashem gave us is conjugated, Bereshis, Bara, Elohim, and not every word that we have is Shemos HaShem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's just one of the millions of versions of Torah that have validity. And in those other versions, it's the name of Hashem. So combining letters in ways that flout our grammatical rules, our etymological rules, is not a word game, it's not a joke. It's real, it's based on Kabbalah, but it's just not the way we're accustomed to reading if we're just reading based on human communication. So, a very important concept in Chassidus is hisbatlus. Extremely important. It's one of the major, major differences between Chassidus and non-Chassidus. Hisbatlus means that Hashem is all around you, and you don't have to find or access Hashem by performing a mitzvah or learning Torah or going somewhere else. What you have to do is you have to break down the divisions and the divider and the barriers between yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are those dividers? Ego and identity. How do you break down those dividers? It's called hisbatlus. It's a complete inversion of the way we normally think. We normally think about accomplishment and achievement, and then we map accomplishment and achievement to our religious world. How do I accomplish Hashem? How do I achieve Hashem? How do I grasp Hashem? Torah, mitzvahs. I do something. I perform something. I study something in order to grasp Hashem. Whereas in Chassidus, Hashem is here. Hashem is in every experience. It's just that I'm divided from Him because of my ego, because of my selfishness, because of my identity, because of my self-worth. So I just have to annihilate myself and suspend my own identity, and then I will feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. It's an extremely important doctrine. Again, it's called hisbatlus, and I find it very helpful to thread my non-hisbatlus identity with some hisbatlus. I don't practice hisbatlus on a daily basis, but there are times in my life where I find that hisbatlus is, we'd say in the modern psychological language, is called letting go. Right? In modern psychology, we'll talk about letting go and not being type A and not always being alpha, not always trying, letting go. So hisbatlus, letting go means letting go of yourself to find a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So tshuva, listen carefully, is the ultimate process of letting go. Because for the light to come, there has to be darkness before, just like in Bereshis, because in Chassidus, everything is cosmic. So what happens on the cosmic scale happens in your heart as well. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created light only after there was tohu vavohu, you have to find the light of tshuva by first experiencing the spotless of tohu vavohu. How do I know that? The word tshuva. You ready? Take out the shin. What does tshuva spell? Tuf, vav, beis, hey. What does that sound like? Tohu vavohu. And what's the shin? And the shin is choshech in between tohu vavohu. Choshech and tohu vavohu. So tshuva is a process of recreating the internal, emotional tohu vavohu, the internal oblivion of self, and then yihior. It sounds a little different, and if you, again, expecting normal grammar like you'd study in university, it sounds almost manipulative. But it's a different system for managing letters. It's just a different system. Just like if someone talked to you about Gzeirah Shavah, there's a word here in Makitetzeh, there's a word here in Bon, you'd start laughing. That's not the way you'd read a regular text, but that's not the way the Torah was written. the Torah was written with cross references that were delivered to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Read this word and associate it with this word. So we're accustomed to reading Gezeirah Shavah and we take it seriously. It's just different ways and systems to manage language. I've studied language in graduate school. I studied how people communicate. Is it words? Is it non-words? Is it non-verbal? So communication is not just limited to a very, very parochial system of etymology. Okay, so a lot of interesting ideas for Tshuva. We're going to revisit all these ideas. I think Wednesday we'll try to talk about Chassidus after that. Okay? Have a great day, everyone.